fourth case, Mercer versus Cook County, 12-2894. Mr. Greco?
Thank you, Your Honor. May I please report, counsel? My name is Michael Greco, and I represent the plaintiff appellant in this case, Sergeant Pamela P. Mercer. And I first want to direct Your Honor to the summary judgment standard. There's the well-established Anderson versus Liberty Lobby standard reaffirmed on many occasions by this court, including the 2001 decision in Pugh versus Attica. If there is evidence from which a reasonable jury could rule in favor of the non-moving party, summary judgment is not appropriate and has to be denied. So in other words, the fact that the mosaic or the matrix of evidence put forth by the plaintiff inspires skepticism as to the potential fortunes of the plaintiff in bringing the case before the jury is not conclusive of the movement's right to summary judgment unless there is no evidence from which a jury could rule in favor of the non-moving party, in this case the plaintiff appellant, Sergeant Mercer. I submit that the late Magistrate Ashman encroached into the area of making factual findings in two particulars with regard to the hostile work environment claim, particularly, as well as the Section 1983 equal protection claim based on sex, the violation of equal protection based on sex. And we concede that the summary judgment is appropriate with regard to the race discrimination claims, Your Honor. As to the hostile work environment claim, there was evidence of the sexually explicit graffiti in Sergeant Mercer's work area removed without being photographed or otherwise documented. And Magistrate Ashman's finding with regard to that was that the lieutenants that removed that, the superiors, in other words, there would be a basis for employer liability if it were found to be an insufficient investigation. The Magistrate Ashman focused on the fact that the graffiti was removed quickly and before with a dispatch, and as if it was an appropriate response, as if it could only be found to be an appropriate response by the county or by the sheriff's department to the sexually explicit graffiti. And yet we put forth evidence that the graffiti had not been photographed, it had not been documented. The superiors or the supervisors of Sergeant Mercer who effected this investigation and removal are law enforcement officers in effect themselves. They have much as corrections officers within the Cook County Jail. They have a lot of the same training and experience as law enforcement officers. Certainly a jury could find that a reasonable response to this material, this graffiti, would be to photograph it, would be to make some further attempt before erasing it, which is ultimately appropriate, but certainly before erasing it, photographing it, documenting it, and attempting to determine who the perpetrators of the graffiti were, would have been a crystal clear, no question about it, appropriate response to the graffiti and would have been conclusive in the Sheriff's Department's favor. In this case, that was not done, again, erased without photographing or documenting it, which is a very minimal task, a very minimal undertaking, one which the Sheriff's Department certainly could have undertaken if they had been acting genuinely to correct the presence of the graffiti and the wrong against Sergeant Mercer.
Is this case really all about just the fact that the graffiti was erased before it was photographed?
Not all about, Your Honor. There's also the comment from Lieutenant Pitts to Sergeant Mercer that she should go and play with herself or go play with herself. We submit that it had an explicit meaning, an explicit sexual meaning with regard to it, and particularly self-pleasuring or masturbation. The Magistrate Ashman, in his opinion, referred to this court's opinion in Euknis versus, that's Euknis, Y-U-K-N-I-S versus First Student 481 F3rd 552 from 2007. The potential hostility of remarks must be seen in the context in which the remarks are made. And we certainly submit that in this case, the context of those remarks could really only be seen as an inappropriate sexual remark. Additionally, there is the instance of Lieutenant Palologos bumping into Pamela Mercer's backside.
How did she describe it?
Pardon me?
How did she describe it?
She described it as her not so ample, or not, it's, I believe it was her not so small backside, pardon me, implying pretty clearly that she has a large backside, she has large buttocks, and that it would be difficult.
It's not possible, she's just in the way when he's getting by or anything like that.
It's extremely unlikely, and in the ordinary context, in the way people move around each other, if someone did bump into her accidentally and did not intend to do it, we submit that the ordinary response would be to say, excuse me, or I didn't see you, or something to that effect, Your Honor, and that was not done in this case, which, again, we submit points to the potential of a jury finding an intentional bumping or ramming into her, and specifically at the buttocks, at the backside, which could be interpreted by a jury as being an inappropriate sexual advance, or it's certainly a sexually hostile move, or feat, if you will.
Severe or pervasive?
Severe or pervasive, right.
How do you satisfy either of those standards?
We submit that the multiplicity of events, which all circle in various ways around gender, around the fact that Sergeant Mercer is female, satisfy the pervasive aspect. That she could not attest that it was a daily event, but if it's ongoing, then we submit it can be treated by the jury as pervasive. So you have the
whatever you want to call it, play with yourself. So some were trying to say they're sort of joking or something or other, that bumping into someone, I don't know, I'd say in the way or whatever. The graffiti, the proper thing to do, obviously, is to remove it. You think we should have taken pictures first or covered it up or whatever. It was in three locations, as I understand, right?
Yes, that's correct.
One in the ladies' bathroom, one in, I don't know, common area or something. Where's the third one?
Right, I think it was in her immediate work area. I'd have to go back and check the record.
Particularly directed at her, apparently.
Yes, that's right, depicted.
Okay. We don't even know what it was, but it's just and she complained about it.
Yes, she did.
That's how they went and...
Right, the response... Right, yes.
Instead of taking pictures and going into an investigation, they clean it up. Now, you think that when she complained about it, it should have immediately been an investigation of some kind.
That's correct, Your Honor. And we're not saying that there was no investigation whatsoever, but the particulars of the investigation Sergeant Mercer did not have access to. She notes that there was no photographing or attempt to... make a record.
Apparently they never found who did it.
They did not, Your Honor, is our information. That's correct, Your Honor. If there are no further questions, Your Honor, I'll reserve rebuttal.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Poulos?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Counsel. My name is Jim Poulos, and I represent the appellees in this matter. Today we're asking for this court to affirm the district court's grant of summary judgment as to Ms. Mercer's claim of under Title VII as well as under Section 1983. This morning, with my time, I'd like to talk about two issues. The first issue is the issue of waiver, and the second issue is the issue of the merits. It's our position that Ms. Mercer has provided this court with her brief on appeal of nothing more than merely perfunctory and undeveloped arguments. In fact, stripped of Ms. Mercer's legal boilerplate, Ms. Mercer makes little effort to create any factual analysis or to submit this court with any legal analysis. However, if this court were to not apply the waiver doctrine and to move on to the issue of the merits, we'd like to just briefly touch on the hostile work environment claims as well as the racial and sexual discrimination claims. Specifically, with respect to the hostile work environment claims based on race, it seems apparent today that Ms. Mercer is conceding that claim. I'd also like to point out that Ms. Mercer has already unequivocally conceded that claim, although she made it an issue in her appellate brief. In the briefing in the district court level, Ms. Mercer's response brief, Ms. Mercer did concede that claim, and I direct this court's attention to the Northern District docket, docket entry 67 on page 10. With respect to the hostile work environment based on sex, Ms. Mercer hinges her hostile work environment based on sex on three categories of incidents. The first incident, the first category is inappropriate language in the workplace. The second category is inappropriate physical contact in the workplace. And the third category is graffiti that was located inside the workplace. Now, Your Honors, if we took all three of these categories together, it's our position that no triable issue remains because even viewing the evidence in the light most favorable to Ms. Mercer, there's no evidence that supports that any of this conduct was caused because of Ms. Mercer's gender. None of this conduct was severe or pervasive, and there's no basis for employer liability. In brief response to some of Ms. Mercer's representations as to the inappropriate language in the workplace, I'd like to point out that there were three, throughout the course of the litigation and looking at the entire record, both from the district court as well as the briefs on appeal, there's only three examples of inappropriate language uttered in the workplace. All three of those examples were isolated incidents, all coming from single officers. So in other words, there were three utterances, all coming from a separate officer. I'd like to point out that two of those three utterances, in fact, came from Ms. Mercer's coworker, who was a fellow sergeant, or a subordinate. The only indication of any improper language being used by a superior officer, by Ms. Mercer, relates to Lieutenant Pitt's utterance, which was discussed by my friend. With respect to Lieutenant Pitt's utterance of "go play with yourself," I'd like to point out that by Ms. Mercer's own characterization, that was during the course of a quote-unquote silly conversation discussing a Thanksgiving dinner in the workplace. And as the record would show, that according to Ms. Mercer, Lieutenant Pitts, upon walking out of the office area where there was another officer also present, that Lieutenant Pitts made an offhanded remark of "go and play with yourself." There was no other context to it that shows that it was sexually motivated, that it was sexually hostile whatsoever. At best, all three of the workplace's utterances can only be fairly characterized as episodic workplace banter and not sexually motivated. With respect to the inappropriate physical contact, according to Ms. Mercer, Lieutenant Paleologus, during the course of passing by her, apparently accidentally bumped into her rear end. Lieutenant Paleologus provided, there's no context from the record that Ms. Mercer provided that shows that it was sexually motivated or hostile. And Lieutenant Paleologus apparently didn't even acknowledge that he had bumped into her, according to Ms. Mercer's own account of the story. I'd like to also point out to this court that we are talking about a jail setting, and we're talking about very intimate environment and very close quarters. And finally, with respect to the graffiti that was mentioned, as this court aptly pointed out, that the graffiti that was discovered was upon Ms. Mercer discovering that graffiti, she promptly reported it to her lieutenant, Lieutenant Paleologus. Lieutenant Paleologus thereafter reported it to his captain and with his own hands went and removed all of that graffiti. And the graffiti, the most egregious form of the graffiti that we're talking about is on a unisex placard where there was a male stick figure and a female stick figure. Anatomically appropriate genitalia was placed with a marker on that placard. And then above the male figure was Ms. Mercer's name. And Lieutenant Paleologus immediately removed that, and thereafter, during the course of roll call, both Lieutenant Pitts and Lieutenant Paleologus admonished all correctional officers that such conduct was inappropriate and would not be tolerated, and that any other further conduct of this nature would be harshly disciplined.
Was this some kind of a markup of a pre-existing poster or something?
There's a placard.
You just said something about stick figures.
Yes, Your Honor. Not dissimilar to the bathroom actually located on this floor, from my understanding of reading the record, is that there's stick figures that...
indicate that, which type of bathroom it is?
Exactly. And this was a unisex placard where apparently there's a male stick figure and then a female stick figure side by side.
That means both of them can go in there, huh?
Yes, it does, Your Honor. Separately, I believe.
presumably.
And so, again, as we stand based on that, if we were to engage in our own independent fact-finding that were really not raised by Ms. Mercer in her briefs on appeal and really not raised by Ms. Mercer on her own in her response brief, we would still see that even looking at all of the evidence, that none of the evidence establishes that there was a hostile work environment. And I'd also just briefly like to touch, to go back to the comment by Lieutenant Pitts, that Magistrate Judge Kim, in his motion to reconsider, in fact found that that argument had been waived because that argument had not been raised in front of Judge Ashman during the course of the summary judgment briefing. As I can move along, just briefly touch on the sex and race discrimination claims. Apparently, race discrimination has been conceded by Ms. Mercer here today. With respect to the sex discrimination, there's no evidence that there's any that Ms. Mercer can establish sex discrimination based on using the direct method. And there's no evidence that supports that even using the indirect method, that Ms. Mercer can establish a prima facie case that sexual discrimination was present inside the workplace.
Ms. Pelos, can I just ask you, just to make sure I understand this, the issue about transfer when somebody complains about a hostile environment or mistreatment obviously is a tricky one for employers and courts and everybody. If I got it straight that in this case some of Ms. Mercer's subordinates had complained about her conduct and then she was complaining about their conduct, and so her supervisors reassigned her to someplace else temporarily while they investigated. Is that right?
That's correct, Your Honor.
And she remained on the payroll?
That's correct.
She continues to work for the Cook County Sheriff?
That's correct.
Okay.
Your Honor, if I can just follow up on that point. With respect to the characterization is that she actually remained assigned to what was called DCSI, or the Day Reporting Division. She was transferred over to Division 4, and again, it is because she was the subject of two complaints. One is the complainant and the other as the accused. With respect to her detailing over to Division 4, I'd like to point out that Division 4 was in fact the division where Ms. Mercer was assigned immediately preceding her assignment to the Day Reporting Division. In fact, Ms. Mercer was assigned there for 14 years. In fact, over in Division 4, when she was detailed over to Division 4, she suffered no loss in compensation, no loss of benefits, no loss in responsibilities, no loss in her title. In fact, it was in Division 4 where Sergeant Mercer first achieved rank of sergeant. And I'd also like to point out that during the course of when she was detailed over to Division 4, she used approximately 10 and a half months under the FMLA, or some over 1,200 hours of sick time, and in other words, was not reporting to work. She had to call in every day, but she was not physically present in jail. Upon her return, approximately a month or two later, she was then reassigned back over to the day reporting unit. And I'd also like to point out that in part of that decision to detail is that there was no evidence of to who the perpetrators were of the graffiti. And so if I could just briefly conclude Your Honors, we do ask that this court affirm the decision of the district court's grant of summary judgment on all claims. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Greco, you have a minute remaining. Would you spend at least part of it responding to your opponent's contention that your appellate briefs were so scant that the waiver?
Yes, I will. I vigorously oppose that characterization. We did put forth the facts that we submit to create the issue of fact that would have preserved the right to a jury trial and should have justified denial of the motion for summary judgment. We argued the case law, which is pertinent to the facts that we put forth, and we submit that the brief was not sufficiently scant to constitute a waiver of any of those arguments. We put forth the facts that I again highlighted in the reply brief, and so we certainly disagree with the characterization that any of the issues were waived by being underbriefed or underargued in the brief. As far as did you have further?
I do not.
Okay. As far as the transfer of Sergeant Mercer, we concede that it did not involve a loss of compensation or benefits, and yet it's her daily setting. It was one that she had bid out of after working there for quite some time, and so we do submit that it was adverse. It was an adverse employment action.
I have one question on that. Was it her absence during that transfer time, like with some kind of a leave? Did I understand that?
Yes, she did have leave for the absence.
Did that have anything to do with this, or was it just a leave for some other reason?
I believe she took a personal leave, Judge.
It wasn't related to this. She had something else going on.
That's correct, Judge.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Greco, and to both counsel. And the case will be taken under advisement.